Redline.
Opposition law and justice candidate Andrzej Duda surprised Europe by coming out on top in the Polish presidential runoff last week. He campaigned on a platform of asserting Poland's interests within the EU, as well as on promises to pay more attention to the domestic problems afflicting the country. Many in the West are in shock, since they had misleadingly believed that Poles were all in support of the EU, no questions asked. His victory casts doubts on many popularly held assumptions about Polish society and raises questions about whether Poland may be positioning itself for a new role in Europe. For these exciting reasons, Andrzej Duda is our man of the news this week.
Well, Andrew, I think all of us have to agree that his win in this election came as complete surprise. I spoke to my Polish friends. Even they said that they could hardly imagine that he would be able to beat Komorowski. But at the same time, while one of the things that we have to do here is just to unwrap the mystery of his success, other thing is to understand where Poland is heading. Because actually, Mr. Duda was considering himself as a conservative candidate, skeptical towards Russia and at the same time skeptical towards EU. But look, this week, again he surprised all of us not meeting President Poroshenko in Kyiv. So I don't know whether this could lead to some change or there will be no change in Ukrainian politics of Warsaw under the new leader. But obviously it is a very exciting time for them because a lot of people voted for him because they anticipate change. But let us see what sort of changes will come. Bring destructive or constructive change?
No, we still have to see what's on the horizons for Polish society. So right now I'd like to discuss this topic with our in-studio guest, Mr. Evgeny Stetanowski, president of the Institute of Middle East Studies here in Moscow. So what do you make out of these exciting electoral results? Is Poland headed for a change or just more of the same old, same old?
Well, Poland is Poland, so that's a Polish president. In a moment when the president of Poland will be Kosciuszko or Poniatowski, we'll understand Poland and Fuchs. When it will be Brzezinski, if it will be possible, 100% sure he's professional without some emotions. With Mr. Duda, I'm a little more skeptical with his ideas that President Kaczynski and his team were killed by Russian security forces. That was not the aircraft crash. There's the same stories that while President Bush destroyed 9/11, the twins himself. I'm not sure that a guy with such strange ideas will be relevant president of Poland, but we'll see.
But wait, you're skeptical. Experts obviously should be skeptical. But then what is the reason for his success? What is the electoral magic or what is that?
Electoral usual is a collective idiot all over the world. So democracy is a system which give option for a group of professionals rule a major number of idiots. That's a British story from the 18th century. I'm not sure for the last three centuries something changed. So if he was elected, will he be genius or will he be a terrible president? He is on his position. That's it.
Andrew, you have Polish roots, so no, what
well,
can
actually,
you say?
I used to live in Poland for over a year.
I'm a Polish Jew. Satanowski mean that I'm from Satana, which was part of Rzeczpospolita. Yeah. Half of our country in Russia have a Polish roots.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but,
so,
yeah, but I'm very unstereotypically Polish. Well, the way I looked at it was that when I was in Poland a couple months ago to get my work visa processed, I saw that there was a lot of interest in this candidate, but people were hesitant to express it because it wasn't seen as politically correct. I mean, people were kind of upset with the EU and upset with German domination with what they view being, you know, occurring right now with banks, supermarkets, culture, media. I mean, Germany owns a lot of the media publications in Poland. So I saw that there was a potential for a type of revolt if a candidate would utilize an anti-German rhetoric, which is what Mr. Duda was doing. So to me, it's not that much of a surprise, to be absolutely honest with you. But I understand why to outside observers, it may have looked like, well, this is what Poles are saying. But when you really unravel what's going on inside of Polish society, nationalism is at the key.
Gentlemen, sometimes people need somebody who's new. They're tired from an old politicians. They're tired on their programs. They're tired on their faces. They're tired on their teams. Let this guy will try. That's all over the world. That's not only the Polish specific things.
Yeah, we see what happened with Obama. But right now we have a Polish voice joining us right now, Mr. Michał Kokot, political observer at Gazeta Wyborcza paper in Warsaw.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Kokot. What are your impressions about Mr. Duda? Why were the surveys wrong? And nobody had really predicted he would win, but he won, after all. Why was that?
Well, it was mainly because of the weakness of the current president, Bronisław Komorowski, who underestimated Duda's strength, and the weakness of the TV platform, which is at power for 8 years already, and people obviously wanted to have a change. That's why they wanted for law and justice. The issue is that until January, when Andrzej Duda was nominated by the Law and Justice Party, we knew about him very little. So his presidency will be a question to many issues, as well as in the internal politics, as in the domestic and in the foreign politics. We don't know how he will act, and maybe the most important question is how big influence on his policy will Jarosław Kaczyński, the president of the Law and Justice Party, will have.
Mikhail, not much is known, at least to us, about Mr. Duda as a personality, how he just skyrocketed to the helm of politics from political limbo. I was reading some stories about him, and do I get it right that initially he had a reputation of liberal, and then he turned into conservatism? How you see the genesis of his political career?
Well, you are right. He was really a little bit liberal in the 90s, in the end of the 90s, but this is a past which is very similar to many politicians who are in the right, or let's say even far right, in the Polish politics nowadays. He became a big Eurosceptic, which was quite surprising for most of the people who deal with the politics. What we know about him that he welcomes the wish of David Cameron to get some competences from Brussels, from the European Commission, the national state. He's also a member of the European Conservatives and Reformist fraction. The most important thing, I believe, is that he worked during the years 2007 and 2008 with Lech Kaczyński at that time, who is a Eurosceptic, as you know. And he's a big admirer of Lech Kaczyński. He had admitted that several times. So he wants actually to not having Poland swimming in the mainstream politics, as he expressed it. But the question is how he will act. Will he really try to have his own position, the so-called third way? We don't know very much about that, and the president, he will not have many tools to implement this policy.
Yes, you know, you mentioned that Mr. Duda is a Eurosceptic, and it makes me wonder, how do you think his policy will develop towards Ukraine? Because we know that, you know, he didn't meet with President Poroshenko, and some people are saying that he may be very upset about the glorification of Nazi-era individuals in Ukraine, especially considering the massacres in Volhynia and Galicia. Do you think that Poland may change its attitude towards Ukraine under President Duda?
I think not, but you are right. This move could be read as something that is against of the, let's say, Bandera myth in Ukraine, who was a nationalist and who is responsible for many killings of Polish people during the 40s. But on the other hand, I don't think that there will be a tremendous switch in the Polish politics towards Russia and towards what's happening in the Ukraine. There's no big disagreement between the Law and Justice Party and the Civic Platform Party, which is the current ruling party in Poland, about the politics towards Russia. Both want to sustain their economical sanctions, and they want to have the conflict solved. And maybe they will also to extend the sanctions, because this is what the current government wants, and Law and Justice Party and Duda as well seems to agree with the governing party and with the Prime Minister of Akova.
Well, if the policy stays the same towards the East, do you think that it might be different towards the West? I mean, not just the EU, but specifically Germany, because I know that there's some, you know, if one can call a spade, some anti-German sentiment in Poland about what's seen as too much influence in supermarkets, banks, some newspapers. Do you think that Mr. Duda may reevaluate relations with Germany and the EU and become more independent, if one will?
Yeah, this is a good point. This is very possible, very likely, and I think that his policy is a little bit Hungary-oriented, because it will be. There are some measures he wants to implement, which already Orbán's government in Hungary did, like the taxes you mentioned. But there's also a question of the policy towards Germany. Duda already said that Germany is having too much power in the European Union, and he wants to balance it, and Poland has to play his own role. this is very similar to what Jarosław Kaczyński claimed and claims still, and what Lech Kaczyński, who was president until 2010, wanted to implement. So I can imagine that we can expect some conflict between Germany and Poland on this field. However, I don't believe that he will create a coalition with some European Eurosceptics, like at least in this part of Europe, like Viktor Orban or Miloš Zeman, the president of the Czech Republic, because their policy towards Russia is very different. They are pro-Russian oriented. Miloš Zeman, he's financed by some Russian oligarchs, and Viktor Orban wants to turn the all the policies towards Russia, and he's against the economic sanctions. This is something very different to what Duda was.
Okay, well, thank you for the insight, Mr. Kolkot. It will be very interesting to see how things develop. Right now, joining us on the other line is Mr. Arkady Moshis, Director of Russia's program at the Finnish Institute of International Relations in Helsinki. Red Line. Hello, Mr. Moshis.
Hello.
So we're discussing this surprise election in Poland where Mr. Duda happened to win. And do you think this signifies a change in Poland's trajectory, not just towards the West, but possibly towards the East? Could Poland become more assertive in general?
Well, first of all, I can't say that I followed the campaign very closely, but I would still say that probably what happened in the second round was not that unexpected, but probably Mr. Komarovsky made some just tactical mistakes during the campaign. Whatever it is, well, Poland will probably try to behave a little bit more actively in the east of Europe, because I think there is a certain dissatisfaction in Warsaw as concerns the role that indeed it has ceased to be playing rather than playing in the whole Ukrainian policy of the European Union in the last year or so. But I mean, I would say that maybe Poland also will try to be a little bit more proactive, but not necessarily more assertive, because I still think that in my opinion, Polish foreign policy is closer to consensus than it's probably its domestic politics are.
Mr. Moshis, don't you think that probably Andrzej Duda, to prove that his election was not a mistake, would have to make some strong moves just to show that he's sort of reinventing Poland? Or this is not simply needed?
Well, I think Poland is a member of the European Union and NATO. And Poland is quite firmly, and Polish foreign policy is quite firmly anchored within these two organizations. And I would even say maybe in the current situation, NATO is more important from the point of view as an instrument to address Poland's security concerns, which are definitely there and which played a major role in actually in the results that we are now witnessing.
Well, but NATO is NATO, but sovereignty is sovereignty. As you know, that some decisions are taken by national governments. So,
well, absolutely. I mean, there are lots of decisions that are taken by the national government. That's why, for instance, I do not expect Poland to switch to euro, because I think the economic situation and the result of kind of Polish economic developments, the growth that has been achieved, they happened also thanks to the independent policy making. But with this said, there's only this much that one can do. There is the acquis communautaire, and you cannot jump over it, you cannot ignore it. And there are decisions that which have been already taken within NATO and within the European Union, which Poland cannot reverse.
Okay, well, real briefly, just because we're running really close to out of time, do you think that Mr. Duda will have a different policy towards Ukraine than his predecessor?
No, not really, because Poland may try to become more active and propose more things and push forward towards a more active EU policy in the east of Europe, but I don't expect a really radical change.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Moshis. We really appreciate it. Fortunately, we've concluded this section, and that's all the time we have this week. Thank you. Right now, we're done with the third section, so we'd like to thank all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Yevgeny Satanovsky, President of the Institute of Middle East Studies here in Russia, Mr. Mikhail Kolkot, political observer at Gazeta Wyborcha Paper in Warsaw, and finally, Mr. Arkady Moshis, Director of the Russia Program at the Finnish Institute of International Relations in Helsinki. And with this, we end this week's edition of Redline, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Krepko.
And Sergei Strokin.
Thank you for staying with us. Goodbye, and take care.
Take care and goodbye.